Hello and welcome to the Apache Cassandra Corner, a community-driven podcast for all things Apache Cassandra. The Apache Cassandra Corner is sponsored by DataStax. I am your host, Aaron Pletz.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome back to the Apache Cassandra Corner podcast. Today, I'm sitting down with Rahul Singh. Rahul, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Had a nice little break over the weekend, and happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Hey, of course, of course. Well, Rahul, you know, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure, absolutely. So my name is Rahul Singh. I'm one of the principals at Anand Corporation. And, you know, I've worked in technology since I was, I guess, in high school. I've built a hosting company, built a data center, and after that got into what people call these days, you know, content management systems. But it was just starting out with portals and CMS and document management. And somewhere in that, there was a bunch of integration work. And so that's when I became hardcore data nerd.
Gotcha.
And, you know, basically that's how I got introduced to the world we are in now, working with data.
Excellent. So at what point did you start using Cassandra?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I had heard about Cassandra when I was, so back in 2011, 2012, you know, I had started to experiment with big data technologies. Well, traditionally back then it was Hadoop and, you know, MapReduce and Spark is kind of either still a baby or not quite out yet.
Yeah, not quite there yet. Yeah.
And, you know, up until that point, I had been primarily doing .NET. I had done Java before, but it was primarily .NET. And so, you know, I tried to find ways to get into big data with .NET, and there really weren't many options. I mean, right now there's like a Spark runner for C#, but, what interested me most about big data was the ability to, you know, crawl and process and index, because I was a big fan of search. In fact, you know, at that time, I was doing a lot of work with the Lucene library, the Lucene.NET library.
Oh, nice.
Pretty good knowledge about Solr and Elasticsearch wasn't quite there. But, you know, the data processing for search for tons of information, I mean, that's really what, you know, the MapReduce was built for. So that's what interested me about it. And, you know, even the open source Hadoop, it came from, you know, Doug Cutting's work. He also wrote Lucene. He also wrote Hadoop. And there's a lot of like common threads of like what Doug Cutting has done for my career. And, you know, there was a project that I was working on with the United States Patent and Trademark Office, which I was brought in as a Solr Lucene expert. And the data processing, the data wrangling, if you will, was being done in DataStax. It was an early version of DataStax. I want to say DataStax 3, maybe DataStax 4, you know, and it had all the components that we were trying to use. It had Solr, it had Spark, and had Cassandra as a way to store information. Unfortunately, you know, DataStax did not have the latest version of Solr, so we had a separate cluster for Solr. But we were ingesting, I don't know, 120 million patents from across the world into Cassandra first, and then from Cassandra we were processing it into Solr. And Cassandra was great for that, because not all patent schemas are the same. They're similar, but they're not all the same.
We
could bring it all into one big massive table, and then process it in the way we needed it to for the search use cases. It blew my mind that we could have two different data centers, and that The data was
replicated. That's my favorite feature too, by the way. But yeah.
Yeah. So, because initially the goal was we would ingest with Spark into one data center and then it would be indexed into Solar. Sorry, we ingest with Spark in one data center and it would be automatically indexed in Solar on the other data center.
Yep.
Unfortunately, we were able to get the best, the fastest parser. I actually wrote a parser for Solar and I couldn't get it to work inside the,
nice.
The data stack Solar. But that concept of, wow, this is amazing. You drop data here and it just magically appears over here. I was like, this is like the Dropbox of data, man. This is amazing. So I fell in love with Cassandra after that project because every other enterprise search project that I was involved with, I would always try to figure out a way to use Cassandra.
Mm-hmm.
If not, you know, try to use DataStax. But it was we're gonna need to process all this information. You know, we can co-locate the Spark processes, even if we're not using DataStax. And as the data comes in here, it's going to get replicated here and we can do other cool stuff, not to mention real-time indexing. I mean, there was a lot of amazing, like, universe of possibilities that opened up. And you know, up until then, because I was in the .NET world, I was using SQL Server a lot to bring data in, process it, even use SQL Server for some of the crawl task tables and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got pushed into Cassandra, Java, Scala, Spark world, because of a job. It was a job.
But that's cool. That's cool. You know, it's funny that you mentioned coming from the .NET world. I also have a .NET background, and you know, I've used Cassandra with .NET. Now, okay, I haven't done it since 2015, but it's like, you know, the pain is real. It's like when you're looking for an example, right, of how to do something, it's like always, you always find Java and then you find like Python. And it's like, I always found that when I was looking for something with like C# to work with Cassandra, I was ending up on like the third page of my Google search before I finally found something that was kind of close and that I could draw from. So yeah, I get it. I get it, man.
There was I don't know if they're still around, but so Lightbend makes Akka, which is the JVM version of Akka.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a guy who made the .NET version, Akka.NET. And he was hardcore into taking ideas from Scala and like from Akka and putting it into .NET. He also was a big fan of Cassandra. I think the original use case he had built Akka.NET for was some sort of like gaming ad engine, which had a lot of things happening, and they would use Cassandra as a journal for the Akka actors. Mm-hmm. And so I learned a lot from that open source project. I think he was the most serious user of Cassandra and .NET. I would say that for sure. And then there was like all the apps that DataStax had put out there, you know, like Killer Video.
Luke Tillman, who was in DevRel at the time, was kind of like DataStax's go-to .NET guy. And I'd worked with him a little bit too back in those days, just kind of going back and forth, you know, sharing ideas. But yeah.
And you know, I had done a bit of, I think it's called IKVM. So basically you can take Java libraries, jars, and compile them into .NET. DLLs.
Cool.
And you know, because in some of the search stuff that I was working with, a lot of the content extraction NLP stuff was all in Java, and it just made sense not to rewrite it. Just, hey, let's just import it, you know. And you know, actually Java compiled and running in .NET is faster than Java, if you can imagine. So
that's awesome. So yeah. Raul, then, so now we'll like, let's fast forward a little bit. You're the CEO of Anant. We're one of the principals for Anant, right?
Yes.
So how did Anant kind of come to be?
Sure. So, you know, I've been in entrepreneurial ventures since I was in high school. And this is my third serious venture. My first one, I built a hosting company, as I mentioned earlier, and it was one Red Hat Linux box running off of a T1 that my brother was trying to start a business and he wasn't getting much traction. So I was like, I'm just going to start hosting websites. And then that grew into a data center and we got out of that business. But the second company, was to actually call Anon Systems. It was, you know, it lasted from, I would say 2001 to maybe 2005, 2006. And, you know, I just didn't know enough about business to, we had mediocre success. I mean, we paid the bills, paid salaries, but, we're trying to do too much. So when in 2008, 2000, between 2008, 2011, we tried, like the other principal, Eric and I tried to get back into business, didn't really do much, because we both had day jobs and it was in 2000 and, early 2010, late 2010, where I was in school and, I had time and I said, after I finished school, which was my 13 year undergrad track, I was finishing school.
Hey, that's all right. That's all right.
I said, I have the time to do this and I don't want to go work somewhere else.
Right.
I want to just work on the stuff that I want to work on. And so, you know, we started off doing websites, again, building on experience in .NET, content management portals and whatnot. And so I used to joke in the beginning of the company, my title was called servant because I used to do, you know, excuse my language, just do stuff. It's like, what does title CEO mean? If you're in a two-person company, does it mean anything? You know? Over the years, I would say, as the company focused, so, you know, since 2013, 2014, we started to go down the route of not even big data, I would say fast data, because we went from traditional, you know, applications on .NET, SQL Server, et cetera, to Cassandra, Spark. And so that what I mean by fast data, now we talk about fast data like Spark, Kafka, Pulsar, there's a lot more things out there now. But I think looking at the old Hadoop stack and looking at Cassandra and Spark, I was like, there's no way I'm going to waste my time with that. Like, there's just, no, even if people wanted to pay me, I didn't want to mess with that stuff. It was just so dirty, you know? But because of that focus on Cassandra, you know, and we have done a lot of enterprise content management, enterprise customer experience stuff, in the .NET world, Sitecore, you know, being one of the tools out there, as we saw, our work in Cassandra just grow and grow and grow. And it was just more fun. We decided, okay, we're going to Cassandra. That's what we're going to do. And, because of that focus, this is the thing about focus. When you focus, you zoom in and you realize this little thing is actually this big,
Rio.
And
that's a good way to put it. Yeah.
It's just, you can just dig deeper and deeper into how do you become, you know, for us, it's like, we want to become, you know, number one Cassandra consulting company. And it's not about volume. It's about quality. It's about, you know, producing great people that can, you know, serve other clients. And it's Cassandra is just this one thing, but it's like the data ops, the DevOps, the architecture, the API architecture, you know, how do we then use Kafka and CQRS for, you know, event-driven platforms? How do you do transactions and analytics at the same time? So as we dove in, right, the Cassandra world became more fun. It wasn't just, hey, this is a cool system. We get to work on cool stuff because only the biggest companies in the world that absolutely need it. I tell people, it's like, you don't use Cassandra because you want to. You use Cassandra because you need to, right?
Right. And I've heard that. I've heard people call it the database of last resort. Yeah. And there's a little bit of truth to that.
Yeah. And you know, it's for, you know, there are a lot of competitors. But when it comes down to the open option with the most, I would say the widest community of practitioners, Cassandra takes that, you know, because so many big companies, like, you know, all the pantheon of companies that use Cassandra. I don't have to, you know, rattle them off, but there's so many people that have been using it. They have experience. It's a safe bet. It's not exactly like a IBM choice or an Oracle choice, but it's pretty cool. If you can say, hey, look, Apple, Netflix, Spotify, Walmart, all these people, they use Cassandra. Here's why they use it. This is why we need to use it. And every new implementation is an exciting endeavor to like build something of substance that's long lasting, right? You don't just start with this thing for like a temporary application. It's for something that's long lasting for a business. So I mean, all that really, as we grew as a company, my role became more training internally, client facing, advisor to clients, but realistically it's sales. It's understanding the customer and understanding the value, building partnerships. I think that the code part of it went from like 90% code to maybe, 50% code to maybe, I would say these days it's, I look at architecture, as a type of programming, because I use Mermaid to do diagrams.
Oh, sure.
And plan UML. And like, you can code a architecture really quickly these days. The fascinating thing about the Cassandra world is that every, especially the last couple of years, there's new stuff coming out. There's always something to learn, from other practitioners. There's always something to learn from the community, the mailing list that's out there, you know, the Apache mailing list, now on Discord, you know, we have our community there. There's a Slack community, the Apache, Slack community. It's a fun group to be a part of. It's cool. Everybody that I encounter in the Cassandra roles, you know, you have to have some depth, some gravitas to start playing in this scenario, you know?
All right. Right. That's for sure. For sure. So, with Anant, you run, what is it like a Cassandra lunch? And then there's also a data engineering lunch, I think. What kind of led to starting that up?
Sure. So, it's funny. I gave a presentation about the work I had done on the USPTO project at a data engine. It was called Data Wranglers DC, which actually, quite frankly, we should change our name to Data Engineers DC. But that was the name of the group.
Okay.
And I talked about, you know, data processing at scale and serving at scale. And the guy that was the organizer was moving from the area, and he's like, hey, I think you'd be great. Do you want to take over this group? This is like 2015, maybe 2016, if I remember correctly. And so I just took over the group, and it's a part of Data Community DC. And I'm actually a board member on Data Community DC, which is a collection of 14 meetup groups in DC area that are all related to data, data science. Yeah, it's really cool work. And we had monthly meetups around the corner here at the GW campus, pizza, soda, everybody comes and it's fun. And then pandemic happens and we couldn't have in-person meetups. So, you know, the first group we started to do virtually was Cassandra Lunch. And we had Cassandra DC, and I actually still organized Cassandra Chicago because I was traveling there a lot. And we had meetups. Okay. Yeah, and we had in-person meetups for those as well.
Yeah, I've been to a couple of those, but I mean, I used to work for Grainger in Chicago, so I was probably at one in like 2012 or 13, somewhere around there. But yeah, okay, sorry.
Yeah, it had become dormant for a while. So because I was traveling there, I said, you know, hey, let me see if I can get the stuff started up again. And so when and there's, you know, there's Grubhub up there too. There's a couple other companies that use Cassandra that, you know. I think like some of the insurance companies up there, they use it as well. So Cassandra Lunch was the easiest thing to do because, well, I had a lot to talk about, but I knew I could, you know, potentially get other people to talk about it. And I was like, there isn't a weekly, and it's kind of almost like, it's not really a podcast, but I guess like we could probably put it out there, but it was more about let's keep the momentum going.
Right.
And we just kept doing it. And I think we're in like Cassandra Lunch number 130 or so now.
I know you have a substantial number of them out there. That's awesome.
I was just like, what? So it's one sense, it's good marketing for us. But in another sense, it's actually, this is the reason why we do it. We want all of our team members to be comfortable public speaking. Because as consultants, our clients ask us to teach them what they should do. They ask us to lead.
Right.
And so we want our team members to be very comfortable in front of clients to talk about things with conviction. Hey, this is, and so when you do presentations, you get that voice. And I learned that. Some of my mentors forced me into giving meetup talks when I was really young. And I realized that that was the best thing they could have done. And they said, hey, I need somebody to talk on this topic. Can you do it? And I was like, okay, So that was Cassandra Lunch.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people started to ask about Data Wrangler DC. Hey, when are you guys going to do something? And, with a big part of what we do is data engineering. Mm-hmm. Now Data Wrangler DC, it had an open call for paper, if you will, basically anything to do with data engineering, data wrangling. It doesn't matter what database you use. It's just, you know, so it's kind of like we're hedging our bet. We get to talk about what we're passionate about, which is Cassandra, and we get to talk about data engineering. But at the same time, we get to invite people to give talks. So we had some, the Decodable guys came and talked about their thing. We had the Dremio folks come and talk about Apache Iceberg. So it's a fun way to get new folks, learn from new folks. And it's kind of interesting, you know, depending on what we're talking about, we get a lot more viewers, live viewers.
Oh, sure.
But what's interesting is we get to cross promote and say, hey, come to Data Engineers Lunch or come to Cassandra Lunch. So we get some new people. We're curious. They're curious about Cassandra, and they come on. They're like, oh, I didn't know Cassandra could do that. And like, well, that's the purpose of the talk is for the lunch is for people that don't know what's going on with Cassandra to come and learn about it.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. That's kind of a nice little side effect when you can kind of do some cross pollination there and bring people, you know, from one over into the other. Yeah. Oh, that's good.
You know, it's like, I think you and I talked about it at some point, which is like, if I haven't told you this, but one of my biggest gripes are people that I interview or people that I encounter. And I say, hey, do you know what Cassandra is? And they're like, yeah, it's just a NoSQL database. Like, okay, cool. So tell me, you know, what your experience is. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, I've used Bigtable. We're like, oh, I've used Dynamo. Okay. Somebody used it. Somebody else is maintaining the hardware for you. Great. Sure.
Yep.
You know, tell me about, you know, bringing up a cluster. Oh, yeah. It's like Mongo. You just run a command.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
but because there's so much out there now, when I do have to get new team members trained up, or if I have to, initially it was like, go to all the DataStax Academy stuff, go learn that, which is still like the first thing I tell people if they don't know anything, like, go do this.
Right.
And then I'm saying, okay, here are all of the Cassandra lunches, you know, pick 10 of them, catch up. And you know, it's a conversation. So, if somebody has a question, they can go talk to whoever presented and say, hey, I saw your presentation, blah, 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 you know, and that's just kind of the culture of our company. We just like to learn and teach and communicate. It makes us smarter. You know, it's like the teacher has to be an expert before they can teach somebody else. So it's kind of selfish for us.
No, that's good though. You know, and I think I've told you this too, but, you know, I had an ecosystem, you know, project that I was working on where I had to like write up a document for Awesome Master, I think, on how to get it to work with Airflow. And I'd never heard of Airflow. And, you know, I did some searching and sure enough, you know, I found Nant Cassandra Lunch, where Obi's up there talking about how to integrate it with Airflow, and he had his had a link to like his Git repo. That was all super helpful. And seriously, I like gave him a shout out on the bottom too. I'm like, hey, yeah, thanks, Obi.
You know, I got this going. He was so happy to see that too, because I found it and I shared it with him. He's like, whoa. I'm like, yeah, man. That, by the way, that awesome Astra project, you know, because we use a lot of Astra for both training people internally. I mean, a lot of our examples use Astra, like all the GitHub stuff is, it's just easy to get started with. So,
right.
But you have so much more now on there that, it's no longer go figure out how you were doing it with Cassandra and make it work with Astra. It's like, go to this website. There's probably something on there. Like I was trying to get Table Plus to work with Astra maybe about a month ago, and I had never used Table Plus. I was just seeing screenshots of it, and I was like, okay, sure, check it out. And it works. It works really well. You know, I'm generally okay at the command line, but every now and then a GUI is helpful, and it's a great resource. So thanks for doing that. And you and Cedric, both of whoever else worked on it, good work.
Oh yeah, thanks. It's mainly Cedric's brainchild. It was him. You know, we kind of had this thing where we were doing a lot of work trying to build out the ecosystem a little bit and build out, you know, some of the content around that. And Cedric's like, hey, I got this idea. We're just gonna put this all in one site. We're gonna call it Awesome Astra. So he engineered like all of that, and he's like, yeah, just put it over here in this repo, and it'll go right up there. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Anyway, so.
Yeah, no, I love Cedric. We haven't chatted recently, but we used to chat every 3 or 4 weeks. You know, back in the day, I would say, I think I turned him on to Gitpod, which got used a lot.
Yeah. Gitpod is awesome. I mean, the things we've been able to do with it,
And actually, the way I got to Cedric was actually he had contacted me about one of our first projects in the community was Awesome Cassandra, which I had taken over. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had taken over from somebody that was maintaining it, and we kind of continue maintaining it now. You know, the whole Awesome movement, by the way, you know, it's amazing. Just it's so interesting. You have the whole internet, you have these search engines. And this like emergent behavior comes out where people make a markdown file with what they like. And you find so much value because you see one human saying, hey, this is it. This is what you need to know, you know, especially in the space of AI. Like if the AI is smart, I think they're getting most of their wisdom from those awesome pages.
Probably. Yeah, that's a fair assessment there. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, Rahul, this has been great. You know, thank you for, you know, taking some time to sit down with me for a little bit and just kind of go, you know, kind of talk about you and a little bit about Anant. This has just been really great. So thank you very much.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really glad to know you and, to work with you on the, Planet Cassandra stuff. Great job on this podcast. Please keep it up. You're great.
Oh, hey, thanks. Thanks. All right. Thanks, everyone. Have a good day.
Bye.
And that's all for today. Thank you for listening to the Apache Cassandra Corner. Apache Cassandra is a registered trademark of the Apache Software Foundation. Thank you, and have a great day.